السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's English Khutbah, and the topic is When you finished your prayer, make remembrance of Allah. Alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah, Lord of the heavens and the earth, who has decreed for us in His remembrance all times, making from the best of times that which comes after the prayer. And I bear witness that with every facet of my being, that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration, and worship except Allah, the uniquely one having no partners in His oneness. And I bear witness that our leader and our Sayyid, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the perfect example of servanthood unto Allah, and is His sent messenger unto the entirety of the created universe. Amma ba'd. I advise you, dutiful servants of Allah and myself, to adhere to a heartfelt consciousness of Allah, known as taqwa. For He, the most gloriously transcendent, states, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah, wa qulu qawlan sadidah, yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, wa man yuta'illaha wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan azeema. O you who have believed, fear Allah and speak words of appropriate justice. He will then amend for you your deeds and forgive you your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has certainly attained a great attainment. Ayyuhal Muslimun, O Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in His noble book that when we finish the prayer, we should remember Him. For He says, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ. And when you have completed the prayer, make remembrance of Allah. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us that having completed one form of tremendous remembrance of Him, the formal form of the prayer, that we should busy ourselves with another form of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereby ensuring that our tongues and hearts are constantly busied in His dhikr, in His remembrance, which in turn alleviates any shortcomings we may have with regards to the formal prayer. And this is why the ulama, the scholars, have generally stated that the times that are from the adbar, from that which immediately follows the salah, the prayer, are times of immense barakah. They're times of immense grace. And there are times in which not only is there a great reward for dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there is a great hope that the du'as that we make therein, the supplications that we make therein, will be mustajab, will be those that are answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as has been narrated by various different narrations, would be busied at this time, straight after the salah, with saying different phrases that either evoke a state of remembrance or are a way of supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, we find that it is narrated on the authority of Thawban, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him, that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to finish his salah, he would seek istighfar, say istaghfirullah, three times. And what is istighfar? This position of seeking the ghufran, that which is not only accepting us but allowing for what we in English would call a redemptive love, a covering of our naqs, our shortcomings, and a fulfillment of our hopes and our ambitions in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's a way of showing that we, all of us to some degree, will fall short of what Allah is due, right, when it comes to our ibadah, when it comes to our prayer. But from that falling short of what it is that Allah is due, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La nuthni thana'an alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik," that we are not able to praise you as you deserve to be praised. You are only as you yourself praise you in terms of your haqq, right, in terms of your due. But we recognize this taqseer, we recognize this shortcoming in us, and so we say, Astaghfirullah, 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 right, straight as we come out from salah. And another thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's been reported to have said, is after he's come out from salah, and what is the way to come out from salah, is to say assalamu alaikum. Right? To give that salam alaikum to the sides. And this way of coming out of salah, after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's reported that he said, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. He said, O Allah, you are peace itself, and all peace comes from you. And how blessed are you, O possessor of Jalal, glory and Ikram, honor. Now, the ulama say, in this is also an ishara, in this is also an indication. What is that indication? That having said salams, and this salam that we say is the way we exit salah. But the reason why we say it as a way of exiting salah is because from the maqsood, from that intention of salah, is that you attain this salam. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'inna al-qulub. Is it not fit with the remembrance of Allah that hearts find rest? And so you are now realigning yourself with that salam that you've attained by saying, Oh Allah, you are the salam. Anta, you are that which is salam ultimately. So as long as I'm with you, as long as my heart is attached to you, I will have a portion of this salam. Because why? He said, Anta salam wa minka salam, and from you is salam. So I can't attach my peace to anything other than you, because if I attach my peace to anything other than you, then the outcome will be what? The outcome will be the opposite of peace. Because the only way we can genuinely bring about peace in this world is when we've realized the source of all peace. And the source of all peace is not attaching your ambitions and your hopes on that which is fani, that which is temporal. Kullu shay'in halik illa wajha. Every single thing is in a state of destruction and going and temporal, except his countenance. So why is that? So if you attach yourself to that which is halik, if you attach your heart to that which is fani, then you will be in a state of qalaq, anxiety, and you will be in a state of huzn, sadness. But if you attach yourself to Allah, then you will be in a state of itminan, you will be in a state of comfort, and you will be in a state of peace. And that is the reason why you seek peace, because through him is all Jalal and Ikram. Through him is that glory. Through him is the immensity. And so the rule, the secret to getting freedom from pain and suffering is to attach yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the one who confers ultimate grace and bounty. And that's why one of the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would often make after the salah, he would say, Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'atiya lima mana't, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al-jadd. He said, O Allah, none can withhold what you have given, and none can give what you choose to withhold, right? And it said, وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ, and no so-called possessor of wealth or fortune can benefit anyone, because مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ, because from you is the reality of wealth and fortune. For you are the one who ultimately give that benefit. No one else does. And so this realigning of the hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important in these secret moments, in these moments that we say secret is an open secret, is that people, if only they knew the immensity of these moments, they would never waste them. But how many a person wastes these moments thinking, well, you know, I've done my job, I'll just get up and move. And it's not about that. It's about, now that you've done your salah, you have a sila. Now that you've done your salah, you have a connection. And if you have a connection to your Lord, would you not spend some moments in the having just come from that presence to ask him? Would you not spend some moments, having come from that presence, to just saturate and let yourself be situated in it for a while more? Would you not, having come from that presence and that immensity and that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would you not take advantage for the tremendous discounts and the fact that these awqat, these times, are mustajab, these are times when Allah wants to be asked so He can grant you that which you seek? The person who's aqil, the person who knows, is the person who doesn't waste these moments. And that's why we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would engage in these type of adhkar, and he would often say what's known as, we call them al-baqiyatu salihat, literally the enduring righteousness, that which is a sayings. Because what, when we say what is the baqiyatu salihat, these are phrases that the believers are encouraged to say, namely subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. These four phrases, these are phrases all of different ways of evoking remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are literally termed collectively the baqiyatu salihat, that which stays. Why? Because in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there is no one who's making these adhkar, right, saying subhanallah, saying alhamdulillah, saying Allahu Akbar, and saying la ilaha illallah, except that yata'atafna hawla al-arshi lahunna, that basically you'll see that all of these sayings circulate as if they circulate the divine throne, and they say lahunna dawiyun kadawiyun nahli. They said they have a sound like a buzz, like the buzz of a bee. And what are they saying? They're remembering sahibihinna, they're remembering the person who uttered them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَوَلَا يُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَلَّا يَزَالَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ شَيْءٌ يُذَكِّرُ بِهِ. Is there not one of you who wishes that there remains something that is continually making remembrance of him in the presence of Ar-Rahman, in the presence of the Merciful, in the presence of Allah? So that which you're making dhikr of in this life begins making dhikr of you in the presence of God. Right? This is a great hadith. This is a hadith, brothers and sisters. This hadith is pointing to the power of words that are said for the sake of Allah, that we take to be small, that have a perpetual baqiyatu salihat, that have a perpetual baqiyat, means it stays, its athar is baqi, its athar is staying from that which is salih, from that which is good. And so they are few words, but they have tremendous weight. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the sunnah that's described, that one of the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do is he used to encourage others, is he used to say, "Man sabbaha Allah fi dubri kulli salatin." He said, whomsoever says subhanallah after every salah, thalathan wa thalathina, 33 times. And then anyone who says alhamdulillah, 33 times. And anyone who says Allahu Akbar, 33 times, making it 99 times in all. And then he completes the 100 by saying La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Anyone who says this as the final way of completing it, saying La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, there is no God but Allah, and there's no partner, he has no partners alongside him. To him, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, to him belongs all mulk, all sovereignty, and to him belongs all praise. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he is over all things capable and power and has ability. Anyone who says this, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ghufirat khatayahu wa in kanat mithla zabadil bahri. He said all of his sins will be forgiven, even if they were as abundant as the foam of the sea. Right? So these are great things. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he referred to these things as the mu'aqibat, that those phrases that are continually said. And he said about these things, he said the mu'aqibat la yakhibu qailuhunna dubura kulli salatin maktubatin. He said those who engage in these phrases, he said, and engage in them after every obligatory prayer, Salat al-Maktuba, then he says they will find that what? لا يخيب قائلهن. That anyone who says this will never be deprived, never be betrayed, never find that their reward will be less. And that's why one of the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, even if we can't do these 33, even if they were to just suffice with saying 10 times Subhanallah, 10 times Alhamdulillah, 10 times Allahu Akbar, he said someone who says these things 10 times, right, it's as if their reward will be multiplied. So it's as if someone is, if their reward was 150 of the tongue, they would have 1,500 on the mizan, on that scale of balance, on that day of judgment, when we're all in need of things to amplify our balance, we're all in need of things to help us be from the salihin, to be from those who are the faizin, those who succeed on that day, the day of ultimate success, the day of ultimate bliss for those who succeed. And another thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, and from his sunnah, something we should emulate, is that he would often recite Ayatul Kursi. Right, we all know Ayatul Kursi, inshallah. If we don't, we should make a point of knowing it and reciting it, you know, the verse that says Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, and then continues, it says Allah, there is no deity, there's no god other than him, the hay, the ever living, and al-qayyum, the one whose existence is independent, who sustains everything else, because he's the only one who has qayyumiyya, everything else is dependent on him, he's the only one who's self-existent in his existence. And these are tremendous meanings. That's why the Ayatul Kursi has been defined as one of the greatest ayah in the Quran, which is full of great ayahs. But why is this verse considered? Because in it is the meanings that point to the greatest of meanings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's a great opportunity after the salah ends to recite Ayatul Kursi. And another thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say about reciting Ayatul Kursi is he said, "Man qara'a Ayatul Kursi." He said, anyone who reads Ayatul Kursi, dubura kulli salatin, straight after the end of every prayer, right, salatin maktubatin, every prescribed prayer, he said that such a person will not be prevented from entering Jannah except by dying. In other words, nothing stands between him from entering paradise except death, because he's been regular in this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made such a person of paradise almost already. And so he's just waiting for the day for him to die, to enter what has become his birthright, what has become his attribute, because he's become a person of paradise. Why? Because he engaged himself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the greatest of what Allah wanted him to be engaged in. And then alongside the Ayatul Kursi, one of the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to often encourage us to recite, and of course recite also with regards to the after the prayer, is the Mu'awwidhat. Right, these great surahs, which are Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, and Surah Al-Nas, the surah that start off with Qul, right? Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, or Qul hu Allahu ahad, right? So these surahs that start off with the Qul, these are the things that we're meant to be busied with, and they're recommended to recite these after the prayer as well. Now, the Quran itself has within it an amr, a command to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to engage himself in this manner. It says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ, right? If you have finished your duties, then it said, and to your Lord may you have, you know, raghba, right? Wa ila rabbika, and to your Lord direct your longing, right? And this longing is an ishara, an indication of that connection, that intimate connection between the salah and that the dua and azkar that follow after the salah. Because once you've finished your duties, the obligation of the salah, don't think that it's finished, because the purpose of this obligation was to build that sila and that beautiful connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now that you're coming from that connection, direct your heart towards Allah. Direct your being towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sir for that, the secret for that, is that engagement after the salah. Because then what comes from that is that as and when you decide to get up and to engage in everyday life, you should have some remnants of that being of raghbah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wanting and desiring Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your marghub, Allah is what you want, Allah is your maqsood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what you are aiming for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your ma'bud, Allah is what you worship, right? And so when you have this feeling, then that carries through you in all, fi jami' awqatikum, in all of your times, in all of your a'mal, in all of your actions, that His rida is your maqsood, His pleasure is that which you want. And that's why when the Prophet ﷺ has asked about specific times when the dua is mustajab, he said, Jawful layl, that deepest part of the night, that last part of the night. And then he said, Wa adbaru salawat al maktubat, and at the end of every obligatory prayer. So let's not waste it. Let's not waste it. We have these tremendous opportunities to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the salawat al-maktuba, after the obligatory prayers, and let's not waste it. Let's not just pray and can't wait to get out of here, because that's a sign of where our hearts were during the prayer. And the signs of our hearts being connected to Allah is that ladha, that taste, that hudur, that presence, that khashya, right? That khashya, that fi salatihim, in their prayers, they're khashi'un, right? They're people of khashya, that humility, that reverential awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends in the heart. And if that's in the heart, then after the prayer, these people generally, unless there's something pressing, will not just get up and leave straight away. There'll be a moment of sakina. There'll be a moment of allowing that presence to filter, allowing that presence to saturate us more, allowing that love to come to more fruition, and allowing that love to make our tongues move in dhikr of Allah, and allowing that love to make our tongues move in making dua for His ummah, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and dua for ourselves, right? That we can عَنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ وَشُكْرِكَ وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ. This is one of the great things that the Prophet ﷺ advised Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He said, let there not be لَا تَدْعَنَّ فِي دُبِرِ كُلِّ صَلَاتٍ. He said, let you never leave reciting this supplication after every salah, تقول, saying, Allahumma عَنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ وَشُكْرِكَ وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ. Oh Allah, help me in remembering You, making remembrance of You. Help me in making thanks of You. And help me in worshipping You to the best of ways. And this is the sir of dua, right? A dua mukhul ibadah. Dua is the very essence of worship. And so what is the essence of dua that we want? To increase ourselves in our worship. We want our dua to be for Allah. We want our dua to make us sincere, to have ikhlas for Allah, that we give our lives as abideen of Allah, as those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the state of those who have tahqiq al-ubudiyya, realizing their slavehood, bi iqrar al-rububiyya, through knowing Allah's oneness of His lordship, that He is the one raising us, He is the one sustaining us, He is the one supporting us, He is the one giving to us. And so these are the greatest of things. And that's why it's generally recommended, and this was one of the ways that the Prophet ﷺ would make dua, is that he would make dua for Allahumma ghfirli ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu. He used to make dua for forgiveness for his own shortcomings of what he did before and what he did afterwards. And by the way, the stronger opinion, the opinion of the Jumhur al-Ulama, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as with the majority of the prophets, could not sin in the way you and me sin of willful disobedience. Why? Because he had isma. He was someone who Allah gave, made him infallible, right? But what was this doing? Why was he seeking istighfar? They say, the ulama say, hasanatul abrar sayyatul muqarrabin, that those who are even closer to Allah, then their good deeds become the bad deeds of those who are further away. In other words, at his level, the Prophet was asking forgiveness, which for us would be like tremendous deeds. But the Prophet was asking for, because in his own say, Bashir in his own journey to Allah, he was constantly increasing. And so one of his sunnahs is for us to also seek this constant increase, this constant tawbah, this constant turning back to Allah, this constant tajdeed, this constant renewal of sidq, this constant renewal of our turning back to Allah. And that's why Allah, whenever he praises many of the prophets, he says, innahu awwab, ni'mal abdu hadha, innahu awwab. What a great slave he was, when referencing Sayyidina Sulaiman, and when referencing Sayyidina Ayyub, what a great slave he was. He was awwab, constantly turning back to Allah, constantly turning back to Allah. Now, on the one hand, there's Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, possessing the lordship and kingdoms, the like of which have never been seen. And on the other hand, there's Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, who was tested with tribulations and poverty. And both of them are described, despite the differences in their outward, with the same phrase, Ni'mal abdu hadha, innahu awwab. What a great slave he was. He was awwab. He kept turning back to Allah. And so one of the ways of turning back to Allah is taking advantage of these moments to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma aghfir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhart wa ma asrartu wa ma a'lant. Oh Allah, forgive me that which I've done of the former and that which I've done the latter of shortcomings, what I may have kept secret and what I may have done openly, wama asrafta, of that which I wasted or was extravagant in, wama anta a'lamu bihi minni, of that which you know more than me, because I may sin and might not even be aware of it. Anta al-muqaddimu wa anta al-muakhiru, you are the one who puts things forward, you are the one who brings things forward, you are the one who delays things. La ilaha illa anta, there is no God, there is nothing worthy of worship except you. So you can see in these du'as this level of ubudiyyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's really powerful. He used to end often his du'as with La ilaha illa ant or La ilaha illa Allah. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubayr narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to often say La ilaha illallah after every prayer, and he'd do it jahran, raising his voice, such that he said that that's how he would hear, that's how he would come to know that the salah has ended. So the similar narrations exist on Sayyidina Ibn Abbas, that by hearing La ilaha illallah they'd come to know. One of the things that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubayr, may Allah have mercy on him, says is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make this long dua, saying La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. There is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. He has no partners. To him is all dominion and to him is all praise, and he is over all things great. So brothers and sisters, let us take advantage of these opportunities. Let us bring our hearts realigned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just in the salah, but in the adbar, in that which follows, fi dubr, in the following of what comes after every salah. And if we can do that, then that sila, that connection of joining good between good, joining ta'a bit ta'a, right, joining obedience and devotion with devotion, inshallah, it is hoped that this state and the barakah will continue throughout our lives until we reach our destination. For we are all going to be standing in front of our Lord, and that is when these few things that appeared light on the tongue but heavy on the scale will be what we really wanted from this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to engage ourselves in dhikr, to engage ourselves in dua. Dhikr in all its forms, outward, inward, through our tongues and through our hearts. And may he assist us all in the way of piety and obedience, piety towards those he's entrusted us to be piety, to have piety towards. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you, so seek his forgiveness, for he's the most forgiving and the most merciful. And with that comes to an end this week's khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This khutbah was brought to you by Idha'at al-Quran, Abu Dhabi.